And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Squamish, Seychelles, New Zealand, Australia, Nova Scotia, New York. I can't even keep Montpellier. I can't keep track. It's a wonderful thing that Coast Community Radio goes all over the world. And that's because of your support. This is Carol, your host for Arts Live and Local. And as it's getting to be, it's a full time here in our Columbia Pacific region. And a big thank you to Lisa Smith, who sat in on Arts Live and Local, I believe, for her first time and did a terrific job. The more the merrier around here that can jump in on programs when we need to be gone. So thank you, Lisa, and thanks to all of you who told me about the show and what a good job it was. I'm going to open up. Well, let me make a dedication and we'll hear some music from my dedicates. I'm not sure what the word is. I'm going to be sending out music because music is so important in the culture to Puerto Rico, to the people of Puerto Rico. The ones we get to talk to or hear on the radio, I should say, are those who are fortunate enough to be able to make contact. There are so many more who are in dire straits. This is nothing new. The difference is that a lot of people still don't realize that Puerto Rico is us, as in USA. So even more strangeness that the situation hasn't been dealt with immediately. So let's send out hopes that as soon as possible, all the people of Puerto Rico will be safe and sound. We'll hear some of the music later. Right now, I want to open up with a piece from my first guest's festival, the Water Music Festival. Let's have a listen to Swing Fever with Denise Perrier. And thanks for being here, folks.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take my lips, I want to lose them. Take my arms, for I'll never use them. Baby, your goodbyes left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on without you? When you took the part, oh, I used to call it my little old heart. Come and get it. Take all. You see that I'm just no good without you. I want you to take these lips, I want to lose them. You better get here, run here and grab me some. No, darn well, I'm never gonna use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. Take all of me.
Makes you want to get up and dance, doesn't it? Well, let's find out whether that's going to be a possibility. Actually, my guest is Diane Marshall, who is the chair of the Water Music Festival. And a few weeks back, we had some guests from the Water Music Society. So we kind of planted out what the difference is. Because I was saying, how did this go from that? So this is the actual festival.
This is the actual festival, yeah. The society is the organization with the board members and the whole organization. And we have four events. Probably the event that was on a few weeks ago was Jazz and Oysters,
right?
Which is part of our organization, as is Music in the Gardens Tour and a Christmas concert. So we have four things.
Did it start with the Water Music Festival?
Yes. Yeah, this is the 32nd annual Water Music Festival. And it was the 31st, I believe. Or was it the 30th? Is this the 33rd? This is the 32nd or 33rd, and then Jazz and Oysters is 1 year younger.
Right.
So it's
and
been going
as
on.
As I have to say every time, Jazz and Oysters was created to support Water Music Festival, and it was created by two KMUN programmers, Carlos and Sharon Montoya Welsh.
Exactly.
So that's where the jazz and the oysters came from.
Uh-huh.
So it makes so much sense. Yeah. So, Diane, this is pretty exciting. Let's first just tell folks, no, it's not happening this weekend.
Yeah.
It'll probably be sunny the weekend it happens, but we don't care. So it is happening October 13th to 15th, which is in 2 weeks. So you have time to get your tickets, get this on your schedule, and tell us all about it. Who is Swing Fever? Where did you find them? Where are they from?
Well, I've known of them for a long time by going to Northwest Booking Conferences. They were here quite a few years ago, and they're out of the Bay Area. And I originally, to kind of try and segue into a different subject here, for the Saturday and Sunday concerts, I wanted Schubert's Trout Quintet. I've always wanted that work to be played for our festival. And I thought, well, that's a classic. So now who can I have for the Friday night group that would be playing classic tunes? Well, Swing Fever. And they were thrilled to come. There are five dynamic big band swing era instrumentalists. And then, as everybody heard on just now, Denise Perrier, why would you not want to come listen to her?
Wonderful. So that's interesting, though, what you did. You took what we generally call classical music, but you took the essence, which is classics.
The classics.
The classical part of it, and you applied it to other genre of music, and in this case, jazz and swing. And you certainly did pick this amazing band. So when are they going to be here?
They'll be here Friday, the 13th. Ha ha. I love the number 13, too.
Yes.
At the Innard Harbor Village in Ilwaco. And there will be a nice, lovely cocktail hour at 6 with a concert at 7.
Okay. Folks should know that they can get their tickets online. Is that the best way to do it?
That's the best way.
That would be?
Watermusicfestival.com. And the tickets are sold by Brown Paper Tickets. People can either put in their info and print out the ticket or have it mailed, or they can call Brown Paper Tickets 1-800 number, and the people are very helpful over the phone. So either way.
Great. Okay. So that is Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, 6 p.m. Cocktail hour. So the price of the ticket includes the cocktail hour. Is that right?
Well, it does. And then there's a no-host wine bar.
In addition.
Okay. But there will be light bite appetizers and sweet treats, and then other beverages, and then a no-host wine bar.
Wonderful. And then on Saturday evening.
And Sunday
afternoon. Now, have you ever done that before?
No, but Ledbetter Farms always sells out, and people are clamoring for tickets. They love that venue, as well as the music that I bring to the place. And so we decided to offer two concerts the same artist, the same repertoire.
Interesting, though, because, I'm just wondering, I don't know, do you think that one being in the evening and one being in the afternoon will make a difference in the mood or in the...
Well, we had it, usually it's on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Last year we had it on Sunday because there was that horrific storm that never happened. So we changed it from Saturday to Sunday. People loved it because you could sit there and watch the waves come in while listening to this glorious classical music and maybe see eagles soar. Really the Sunday afternoon is lovely. Mm-hmm. Then go out to dinner afterwards and... we don't have many tickets left for Saturday night, so people can go Sunday, and I know they'll have a lovely experience.
Tell us a little bit about Ledbetter Point. Why is it so popular? Now, I was there, for full disclosure, but I want you to tell us. It's a fabulous...
Well, it's just a magical acreage of driving through
up,
trees.
Exactly. And it's the statuary.
Oh, yes. Built by one gentleman who lives in Utah, but has... elite getaways all over at least the country, maybe the world. And this one is just very special. It has different buildings on it and a lake and the place where we give the concert is a lighthouse lookalike. It's not a working lighthouse. It's a residence, seven stories, we're on the first floor, and it's big enough to put in plenty of chairs and the decor in there, gives a whole new meaning to man cave, but it is special.
I was surprised. I went downstairs to use the bathroom, and there were actually real people down there watching TV or something. I thought,
they have a theater down there.
That's what it was. Okay.
I mean, there's no limit to what he did to that place and
so
what
now,
he could do.
What's the relationship between this gentleman, Ledbetter Farms, and the festival? Does he?
Well, none really. He built this place up at the other end of the Long Beach Peninsula, as he has built places around the country for getaways. Mm-hmm. And we used it one year for our garden tour.
Mm-hmm.
We were fortunate enough to get it for the garden tour.
Mm-hmm.
So the
does
woman.
Does he donate the space then for the garden?
Yes.
Oh, he does.
Yes. And the woman on our board that is in charge of the garden tour, Nancy Allen, asked him, and he said yes. And so we asked him, could we possibly ever have a concert there? And the answer was yes. And we're just very grateful to him
Wonderful.
And his staff for working with us and making this so accessible to our concert goers who absolutely love it.
Yeah, and this is a unique place and space in the entire area.
Mm-hmm.
And
it really
I thought that was the case, but I wasn't sure, and that makes it even more special that mm-hmm. this person who appreciates the area and appreciates
yes.
what the community is doing
mm-hmm.
in the arts and culture
mm-hmm.
Is willing to donate mm-hmm. that space for the
and
use
part,
of the
part
community.
Of what we're doing is that many people might not realize is that we support local music in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
A portion of our proceeds are the wine purchases at the events, ticket purchases, being members, donating, goes to support special projects in our local schools on the peninsula that, you know, whether it's appearing somewhere else or being part of a competition or buying equipment for the kids. And so...
it's
people's
wonderful.
Purchases will go toward that. And as a matter of fact, we started the Young Artist Program in 2009, whereby we have a young artist from the schools perform. You probably came to.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so they do maybe 6-7 minutes
mm-hmm.
just to give them exposure. And as part of our supporting the kids, and so Friday night, there's going to be, before Swing Fever Jazz
right.
Band, there's going to be... a trumpet player student and a sax player perform a few numbers, accompanied by the father of one of them, the well-known around here, Tom Trudell, who plays jazz piano at Bridgewater and at the Shelburne.
And who used to be a KMUN programmer.
Right.
I like looping it back here.
And he's one of the high school teachers, so they're going to perform.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrific.
And then
that's...
Saturday night at Ledbetter Farms will be a young gal on piano and vocals.
Mm-hmm. So in mm-hmm. addition to exposure, it also gives them the experience
yes.
of a professional venue and audience
yes.
and warming up, you know, being the opening act for mm-hmm. professional.
The music programs in our schools over there are amazing because all four schools have music programs that are good. Right. And when I go to the educational outreaches the day after the weekend, which will be Monday morning, mm-hmm. with part of the Ledbetter artists mm-hmm. are going to go,
the kids
are rapt. I mean, they're simply, whether it's a classical pianist mm-hmm. or 1 year it was On the Rocks, that a cappella group from the U of O, and they fell in love with all those guys.
So some of the performers will be going into the schools.
Yes. Some of the music of the Mission Chamber players that are performing at Ledbetter will be doing an educational outreach the next morning.
Excellent. And where is the music of the Mission Chamber players from?
They're from the Bay Area.
They're also California.
And they often play at the Mission down there. So
that's
where their name came from. And they're consummate musicians that are just very superb mm-hmm. players of their own instruments. Yeah.
So exciting. Do you know who started the Water Music Festival?
Well, I know Pat Thomas might have been the original president.
Really?
Noel Thomas's wife.
And we should note that Noel Thomas's artwork is one of the ways you can recognize the Water Music Festival.
Yes, that harpsichord in the ocean. And right. I guess it was very stormy that day.
Right.
Pat Thomas is the one sitting at the harpsichord, and Noel is playing one of the other instruments. Let's see what he's playing. Well, you can't see him on the rack card.
Okay.
But and then Ann Kishner, the co-owner of Bridgewater Bistro, was also one of the original boards.
Wow. So this is an all-local festival, mm-hmm. and it has grown and prospered and became a community asset, working with the school scholarships as well as...
We're very happy about that.
...putting the musicians in the schools. Okay, folks, watermusicfestival.com. The festival is October 13th, is the Spring Fever, and that's Friday the 13th, 6 p.m. for the cocktail hour and 7 p.m. for the concert at the Inn at Harbor Village in Ilwaco. And then on both Saturday night, October 14th at 6, or Sunday afternoon, October 15th, that's when I hope to go.
I love the
idea of being there in the daytime.
Oh, you'll love it.
Because getting there at night has been fascinating, but I always want to see, what is that over there?
And I know.
You know, this will be great. So that's Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. cocktail hour, 2 p.m. concert. And those two concerts are the same. Again, watermusicfestival.com. And I do have... my guest, Diane Marshall, who is the chair of the Water Music Festival. No small feat, I must say. I gather you have several people working with you on this.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Everybody takes their piece of the pie and runs with it.
Wonderful.
We have a marvelous board and marvelous volunteers, maybe spouses of board members and others that really step up to the plate and do their part.
Isn't that what it's all about? And
of course,
everybody is a volunteer.
Yes.
It's a volunteer for your community and for bringing fabulous music to the community.
Yes.
So you brought another CD. Tell us what this is, this Aileen.
Her name is Aileen Chenko, and she is the pianist for Music at the Mission. She will be playing at Ledbetter Farms with the other artists. And as you'll hear her in almost all of the numbers, I believe. And this just happens to be her CD, and so it's not any of the music that you'll hear that night but mm-hmm. or that afternoon, but you get a sense of how good she really is.
And we've got, she, I just was listening, whoa.
She really is.
So I'm going to, this is Mussorgsky. I think you'll recognize it. Pictures at an exhibition. Diane, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for putting on the festival again, and watermusicfestival.com. Check it out, folks, the 13th through the 15th mm-hmm. of October.
Thank you, Carol. It's always a lot of fun to be here and see you again. So I love it.
Well, we just heard The Marketplace of Limoges, and it's gone into the catacombs. You can feel the difference in the mood and the fabulous musician who is part of the Music at the Mission Chamber Players, which is going to be at the Water Music Festival. That was Eileen Chenko on the piano. Woo! Gives me chills. Wonderful. Okay. I have somebody entirely different. Caramico is here. I say that as if it's one word, Caramico.
It's a great.
Beautiful name.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just realized it just actually flows quite beautifully.
Thank you.
Cara is who used to be a KMUN programmer. Boy, we are everywhere, aren't
we? Okay.
Is here. She is the program director at the Cannon Beach Gallery, part of the Cannon Beach Arts Association. Obviously, you know where that is. Yes, Cannon Beach in Oregon, on the coast, very popular. How long have you been working there, Karen?
I started at the association in February, right about Valentine's Day.
So. Just this past February?
Just this past February.
Wow, it seems like you've been so busy doing stuff. I thought it had been much longer.
Thank you.
You brought with you a basket.
I did.
I'm not sure that I would have known that was a basket.
Yes.
That it's so unusual. First, let's tell folks why you're bringing this basket.
Well, I am bringing this basket because our baskets show is going to be on display from October 1st to November 12th at the Cannon Beach Gallery, which, if you're not familiar with where that's located, it's at 1064 South Hemlock in Midtown Cannon Beach. We're going to be having a reception for an artist reception with our three artists on October 7th, and that's going to be from 6 to 7:30. There'll be wine and food, and the artists will be there to answer some questions, and it's going to be a really beautiful exhibit. I've seen some of the work so far, and it's great.
So the exhibit goes up, it says it opens like tomorrow? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So people who are in town for this weekend but won't be back for the next weekend could go over and catch the exhibit.
Yeah, good. Exactly.
Good.
The exhibit's actually really going to be quite amazing, and it's three artists, Donna Sakamoto Crispin, Scott Johnson, and Deb Carnes. So all of these artists are really amazing and have been in the local community for decades. So the other amazing thing that I want to make sure that I plug is that Deb and Scott are also going to be at the History Museum during the same month to be doing a baskets show there as well. And we're partnering with the History Museum for a lot of our workshops. So I want to make sure that I mention that their reception is actually Friday the 6th.
Okay.
So they will have, there's essentially 2 days of baskets and food. And
2 days of partying.
I know. It does. Those basket weavers, they really know how to get down.
It was a little confusing to me because I got one in the mail and one online, and they sort of conflated because they're both baskets.
They're both baskets
and
artists.
Two names that I...
Yeah.
So...
It's going to be a really lovely show. Both shows are going to be great. The show...
close enough, too.
Yeah.
You can actually...
You can totally walk to both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
The show actually at the... Scott sent me a little info about the show at the History Museum.
Okay.
That's actually going to be I'm not sure if anyone... I'm sure our listeners are familiar with Steve McLeod. He is a local artist. And so it's partially a memorial exhibit for his work.
Mm.
And then Scott's actually painted some baskets. And so he is not a basket weaver. He is a painter.
Well, that was the other part that stymied me. I've known Scott and his work. And for full disclosure, I love it.
Oh, I do too.
One of his little miniatures in my house, and he donated to Coast Community Radio for one of our pledge drives, too. But I'm thinking, baskets? When did that happen?
Yes. His painting style, if the listeners are familiar with his painting style, it's very fine watercolors with landscapes, and it's very detailed. The work that he's submitting for the basket show is so unique. It's very very broad brushes and very, I've got an image here. Mm-hmm. It's dark and stormy. It's really going to be quite a bit of fun. And the basket that I've brought from Deb, I don't know if you'll be able to hear this, but
good. And be sure to hold it right up to the mic so people can see it too.
Yeah, exactly.
Look into your radio.
Look into your radio. It's made of aluminum. It's this really beautiful, petite, tall basket with a nice wide brim. And Deb actually made this one. It has these really cute and sweet little beads that she's hand printed on there.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's what you're hearing. It's this beads that she's.
Can I see that?
Absolutely. That she's woven onto the side that says "Live Simply." The other ones say "Love and Art." So it's a very sweet basket, and it's actually made of repurposed aluminum that she's handmade the pieces to weave together.
So. And she's folded it so that you don't cut yourself.
Exactly.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
How do you do? And it's totally. And the bottom is like aluminum wire.
Yeah, well, there's some soldering wire there, and then there's like a speaker wire that she's used too.
Great.
It's so wonderful. And the show, a lot of artists are actually doing repurposing, and so that will be incorporated into some of it. Donna's work actually uses a lot of seagrass, so hers are more of the traditional woven seagrass baskets.
And she has given numerous workshops as well,
yes.
Donna Crispin.
Yeah,
and now I see she's using her her own name, Donna Sakamoto.
Crispin.
So gorgeous work.
It's amazing.
She was here one time a couple of years ago, I think, and it wasn't just baskets. She did she did a large fish, and it was all with woven weeds and grasses.
It's beautiful, the work that she's dropped off.
This is quite, you've got three very different artists. And it should be a wonderful show.
Yeah.
So,
and I want to make sure I mention, actually, because you did mention that Donna does workshops. She's actually doing a basket weaving workshop on the same Saturday of the reception. So it's going to be a 4-hour class, and you can register online, and all the info and details are on our website.
Which is?
CannonBeachArts.org.
Okay, and that's CannonBeachArts.org, which includes the gallery.
Exactly.
Lots of other good stuff. So does Deb often do the repurposed stuff?
She does. Actually, one of the baskets that she did for our 12 by 12 fundraiser was this amazing square panel piece. They all had to be 12 by 12, of course. And then she took a piece of some antlers and wove around it. And she has a similar piece on display at the Whitebird Gallery. She does show there occasionally. She also shows it Found, which is this really wonderful kind of a repurposed vintage store. And so she shows some of her baskets.
Is that in Cannon Beach?
It is. It's right down the street from us.
Exactly. Okay, I know it.
That's a great store. Yeah.
See, the funnest part of this, for those of you who live here, you know this, and it's true in Astoria too, but even more so perhaps in Cannon Beach. It's small town, so you can get rid of your vehicle, however you got there, and then just walk and see these places and have a blast.
Exactly. Yes.
So if you check out CannonBeachArts.org, you'll find out about the gallery, and then you can just sort of spread out from there and check out all of, as a matter of fact, Cannon Beach also is very well organized to have festivals. You've got the stormy.
Precisely.
Well, when is the stormy weather?
Stormy weather is actually coming up November 3rd, 4th, 5th.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to have several workshops.
Okay.
There's going to be a bookbinding workshop with some of our local artists. And then there will be a couple of workshops at the Chamber.
Okay.
And then we have the following weekend, Women's Only Weekend. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That is also going to be filled with workshops, and we'll have a special receptions for that too.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I love it. And of course, in the spring, there's the plein air festival.
Yep.
And what's beautiful about this too is that all the galleries work together. What a concept.
I know.
That's what we need in this world,
yes.
And that's what the arts can provide.
Exactly.
As we know so well. What is your background, Kara? Do you practice art?
I do. My background is split pretty evenly between science and art. I was a working biologist for a very long time, doing salmon habitat restoration throughout Oregon, planning mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And then data collection, that kind of thing. Lots of fun stuff. And then I was called to go back to get my graduate degree from UO in arts management and nonprofit management.
By your heart, you mean?
My heart.
Okay.
I was called by my heart
Good.
To follow my passion of arts. And I'm specifically a musician, and I also paint and draw, but music is my, as you know, as working at KMUN, it's kind of hard not to just fall in love with music. So,
are you still able? Do you have time to make music?
I do. I do. I make music every day. I can't not make it. So,
what do you do?
I am a pianist, and I also write and sing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Kara Miko, CaraMico. She is the program director at the Cannon Beach Gallery. Hit her up for more information when you go and visit. And also, be sure to
Could
check
I
in.
Add one thing? We actually Please. Have a grant coming out, so I would like to announce that. We have an artist grant, two opportunities for an artist grant. The first opportunity is for someone to actually be an artist in residence at our gallery and paint or draw or make something within our gallery one or two times a week. And it would go from January to about May of next year. So that application's open now. And then the second opportunity is for artists who are looking to perform at our receptions. And so we will be paying musicians, or you could be a juggler or a dancer or a puppeteer, any kind of performance art. We will have grant opportunities for those artists to perform at our openings.
Okay, when are the deadlines?
Well, the deadlines for the reception performances will be ongoing. So if you're interested, you just get in touch with me through the gallery, and I will make that happen
for
you.
Could you give the phone number also?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 503-436-0744. And then you can email cannonbeacharts@gmail.com or find us on the website. It's pretty easy to find. The gallery artisan residence grant will be closed. It's open now, and it will be closing at the end of November. There's plenty of time. We want to make sure that we get that person in kind of towards November, December locked in, and then they'll start January.
Okay, so if you're not quite sure what that means, because I'm a little bit curious what it means to be able to come to the space one or two times a week, get in touch. Go to the website, get in touch with Kara, give a call, and ask. That's the best way to find
Precisely.
Out. Obviously, if you live nearby,
yes.
If you're right there in Cannon Beach or anywhere, just stop by. The address, again, is 1064 South Hemlock. It's on the west side, on the ocean side. And it's a sweet gallery, lovely gallery, and it's attached to the
Bald Eagle Coffee Bald Shop.
Eagle
yes,
coffee
they're
shop.
Also wonderful artists.
And, of course, that.
Yes.
Some of us know the history of the Bald Eagle Coffee Shop, too. It was in a different location, but it was founded by a friend of ours who helped with the radio station for 18 years.
So wonderful.
We all weave together here. So this particular show, do you know what the name of the show at Cannon Beach History Museum, are they calling theirs Baskets also?
Actually, I don't know. I think that it just, the information I have just says it will be an exhibit featuring Scott Johnson, Deb Carnes, and a memorial to Steve McLeod. So I don't believe they actually have a title, but that would be something I'm sure that's on their website.
Okay, and that is Friday?
That's going to be Friday the
6th. Okay, and then the very next night is the Cannon Beach Gallery, Saturday the 7th. The reception is 6 to 7:30. The exhibit, mercifully, is opening tomorrow and goes all the way through November 12th.
Precisely.
With Scott Johnson, Deb Carnes, and Donna Sakamoto Crispin. Boy, I can't wait to see this. This is exciting. You're
nice
doing
to have you
so
done.
Much
oh, thank
there.
You.
It's wonderful.
It's so wonderful to work with a really passionate group of volunteers and artists and people who want to teach and learn. And people donate so much of their time and resources to make that
it's
happen.
It's a small gallery, but it is packed with goodies
it
and
is.
With goodwill.
Yes.
And the openings there are delightful. You see all kinds of folks and and everybody's exchanging. So I highly recommend Cannon Beach Gallery. Thank you so much
for coming in, Cara Amico.
And we will see you soon. Okay. And I have some music, as I mentioned, from this is an album called Plena Libre, Más Libre. And we are hearing A Mi Manera to the people of Puerto Rico, wherever they live. I think I heard that 10% of New York City is people from Puerto Rico or their families from the island.
Que son difíciles.
A mi manera.
Que si esto, que si aquello, los de falsa moral siempre dicen.
A mi manera.
Al parecer nunca hay salida complaciendo a los demás.
A mi manera.
Pocos indios, pero muchos jefes de cuestionable integridad.
A mi manera.
Vivo en paz y en armonía y a mis hermanos ayudando.
A mi manera.
No me interesa el partidismo, pero la injusticia la combato.
A mi manera.
Solo tengo una respuesta para los que viven criticando.
A mi manera.
El camino se hace andando. Viviendo a tu manera. Apréndetelo.
Yeah. I should say. That was our dedication to Puerto Rico, where the music is alive and well always. Well, we hope. I'm sure it's still alive and keeping people's spirits going even in these hard times. How else could we survive without music? And speaking of that, my next guests are here. I invited Vicki Baker to come in because she is the featured artist at Tempo Gallery on the Astoria Art Walk, October's Astoria Art Walk on the 14th. Did everybody notice that this week's Arts Live and Local is nothing about this weekend, because we've talked about this weekend already. It's next weekend and then the following weekend. So Vicky, who is a printmaker and painter, will be featured at Tempo. And Tempo likes to have music playing. Just as Kara was talking about, opening that up to bringing in musicians or jugglers or whatever. And so my second guest is Peter Unander. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Carol.
And Peter usually plays keyboard, but he was smart enough to bring a guitar instead. That's a great idea. Hi, Vicky.
Hi there, Carol.
Oh, good to see you. And Vicky, are you here for a little while? I see you've been, I didn't remember in my mind that you were in Mexico this summer.
I went to a workshop in Mexico, Guanajuato.
Guanajuato, that's why you went. Okay, specifically for the workshop.
Yes, it was a printmaking workshop.
Wow.
And wonderful experience. So some of the work that I'll be showing at Tempo will be from that workshop. We learned some methods of working with doing etchings where they're hand-painted, but hand-painted with acrylic paints, and then putting the etching on top of that. So it was really an interesting experiment, and I'll have three of those etchings there.
Okay, so wait, before we go further, did you... was this different from the work that you... Because you were one of the people who studied with Royal Nebuchar, aren't you?
I am. And mainly I studied monoprints with Royal.
Okay.
And we did do some monoprints in that workshop and learned some different ways of doing backgrounds that are very...
Okay. Tell us what a monoprint is. I know you've told us before, but we need to hear it.
Okay. Monoprint is when you take a big sheet of plexiglass, could be a small one, and you put ink on it... an oil-based ink, and then you can either remove some of that ink, or you can use stencils with that ink, and you whatever you've done, then you put a piece of paper on top of that, run it through the press, and when you pull it off, you have a one-of-a-kind print.
And do you ever do a second one off that? Or
if there's enough ink left on the plate, you can get something that's called a ghost. So you can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That reminds me, there's going to be a film crew here dealing with ghosts in a story. I wonder whether they want to know about the artwork ghosts. So when I see a piece of art on the wall and it says monoprint, then for the most part, that's going to be
one of a kind.
One of a kind.
Yes, and even the ghost print, it will be slightly different than the original print. So that's also an original one of a kind.
Okay. So what you learned at this workshop, did you know what you were going to learn? Or did you
No,
just...
I didn't.
Who was
I
teaching?
Knew that this person, yeah. Hugo Anya, had worked with Royal Nebuchar.
Oh.
Because Royal had taken a group down there maybe 10, 15 years ago, and I was not able to go to that one. And I knew I wanted to work with this printmaker. And another printmaker friend of mine, Jen Lowry, went along on that trip as well.
So. You two together.
Yeah.
Wow. Did Jen produce some work?
Yes.
Maybe she'll be sharing that at another show. So.
Yes.
So the main thing that you learned with the background, because when I saw this online, I was stunned. It's gorgeous. And I didn't understand why it was different from other work that you've done.
Well, I hope people will come and see it and ask questions, because it is very different. And it's something you can't really explain on radio, so you have to see it.
Tricky.
And if you come to Tempo Gallery, which is at 1271 Commercial Street, right next door to Old Town Framing, during Art Walk on October 14th, from 5 to 8, I will be there. And
how long
so
does
will my
the
artwork.
Show go?
It'll be hanging through the end of October into early November.
Okay.
And we are open just Fridays and Saturdays, 12 to 4.
Okay, that's good information. Tempo Gallery, we should say, is a cooperative gallery?
It is. We
How
have
many?
Six members.
Six. Okay. So you will see other artists as well, but Vicky is the featured artist this time with brand new work. And this work that you're doing, you can do here in Astoria now?
I could do it up at the college. The college has a wonderful program. They're just starting their fall class, and it may have some openings. I went to a summer workshop that the college taught because I do like using their presses up there. I don't have my own press.
Mm-hmm. Who's teaching, do you know?
Yes, Michaela Souza.
Great. She's terrific. Yeah, Mickey Souza. Good. Okay. And then you're also showing other stuff that you did in Florida. That's why I try to locate where is Vicky in the world. So
I'm here for 6 months, and then my husband and I live on a houseboat in Florida on the Gulf Coast side for the other 6 months.
Which did survive the storm.
Very fortunately it did, so we will be able to go back there. Right. But while I'm there, I work with other groups of artists and do paintings, acrylic paintings, and so I will have a group of those paintings as well. And most of them are figures, single figures, maybe two or three figures together. I think there might be one that's just kind of a portrait, too.
Nice. This is so exciting. How long have you been making art, Vicki?
Mainly since I retired, so it's been about 17 or 18 years.
And you were an esteemed teacher here in Clatsop County.
I was fortunate to teach out at Olney School when it existed as a first and second grade teacher.
Yeah. Wonderful. Did you ever imagine that you would have a new life as an artist?
No, I had an interest in it, and I knew I would be taking classes, but being part of this cooperative gallery has really helped me develop my skills and have a place to show the work that I'm enjoying doing.
Right, some camaraderie as well.
Yes.
Yeah, even though everybody at the gallery, not everybody, but people have different genres as well.
Yes.
They work photography and jewelry and
we have photography. We also have a new person that's doing fabric art, Janet Hutchins.
Great.
She'll be there for the first time at our art walk.
Great. Okay, we'll remind people at the end right now. I would love to hear, Peter, how long have you been working over at Tempo, playing music there?
I think I've done a couple there, and it's always been fun to go in. It's a small gallery, but I come in with my piano mostly because maybe this time I'll have the guitar amplified a little with my voice because I'm not as loud as I probably should be. Not that I want to get real loud there.
Yeah, but yeah. So, what's special about playing at an art opening as opposed to, I don't know, a bar or any place else you might play?
You know, I enjoyed it when they bring in kids and the kids will start kind of dancing and things. And it's a bigger variety of people, I think. And it's fun.
We'll have to get you at Troll Radio again. If you enjoy having the kids dancing, that
that's
perfect.
Always fun, too.
Why don't you play us a tune?
This is a song. When I first moved to Astoria, I realized how much rain came down. And after I spent a couple of months in the hospital from a motorcycle accident, that was my initial initiation. And then when I got out, it just seemed to rain nonstop. So this was a song about the rain.
And when was this-ish?
This was 79, actually.
Okay, so you were a young man.
So it was the tail end of 70. Yes, I was a younger man at that point. So this is that song, that Rainy Days, I call it.
Peter Unander.
Oregon has rainy days in fall. The people hide, the dogs all go back home. I don't know why I moved here years ago, but to me this rainy place is best of all. I used to work in a car wash in L.A. Vacuuming, drying, hoping the cars would stay away. I worked there for 3 months in 79. When I quit, I felt just fine. 'Cause Oregon has rainy days in fall. The people hide, the dogs all go back home. And I don't know why I moved here years ago, but to me this rainy place is best of all. Have some place they want to go. The Caribbean, Hawaii, Mexico. Well, New York's great, and so is San Francisco. But to me, this rainy place is best of all. So I sing Oregon as rainy days in fall. The people hide and dogs all go back home. And I don't know why I moved here years ago, but to me this rainy place, to me this rainy place, to me this rainy place is best of all. To me this rainy place is best of all.
Oh, Peter, that is wonderful. I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. That's beautiful. And your voice sounds lovely. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Oh, and that's he's been a great terrific. Asset when he comes to play for us down at Tempo.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm wondering if there is anything else we need to tell folks about the opening at Tempo.
Otherwise, we always serve refreshments and wine.
Yes. And I will be announcing all of the Astoria Art Walk galleries in a couple of weeks when it happens. I just wanted to get these guys in while there was space, because there's so much happening here. We run out of time on this hour-long show. I would love it if... So my guest is Vicky Baker, again, printmaker and painter at Tempo Gallery, 1271 Commercial, from 5 to 8. And they're only open Fridays and Saturdays from 12 to 4. So you missed today. But if you're in town and not coming back, then go on over there tomorrow and check out the gallery. It's a beautiful little long, skinny space. You get to see the artwork opening up until you get to the back. Peter, would you do some noodling for me while I announce things
sure.
going on for a minute or two, and then I have something I want to close with, so that would be great. Peter Unander, who will be playing at Tempo in 2 weeks, and do you have any gigs lined up?
I can't think of it right now, but I'm sure there's something
Let us know when you are playing so we can announce on the radio.
Okay.
And that would be great.
Great.
And maybe you'll come in sometime and play on my folk show. That was
I always
just
love
delightful.
To see you, Carol.
Thanks, Peter. Peter played at my 50th birthday party. So
yes,
we
with
go
Lorenzo.
Way back with Lorenzo, who has been on Coast Community
Radio. I was going to say, speaking of Puerto Rico, when I was in Martha's Vineyard when I was only 5 years old, I found a turtle there a little turtle. And that was my first pet. But I thought we were in Puerto Rico. So I named this turtle Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's
and
great.
He lived for about a year until we went on a vacation and my grandmother got it and she had a water softener.
Whoops.
And unfortunately,
whoops.
I was very upset about losing Puerto Rico.
Well, but... we're going to get it back now. We're going to we dedicated this show to Puerto Rico. So,
okay.
Peter Unander, Noodling, thank you so much, Vicki, for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
And let me tell you what else is going on, folks. Tonight, Coaster Theater is showing Blithe Spirit with director Edward James, Wednesday programmer. It is through October 28th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30. There are two matinees this Sunday at 3 o'clock. Sou'Wester is having this huge Lose Your Mind weekend. And Jenny Don't and the Spurs is tonight, along with AAN, Bud Wilson, and Nick Delfs. And tomorrow there is music starting at 4 o'clock all day. You can call them at 360-642-2542 or go to sou'westerlodge.com. And tomorrow David Berger is going to be at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum at 2 o'clock with the Razor's Edge, the Washington Razor Clam Phenomenon. Bay City Arts Center, Discovery in Stone, Saturday and Sunday. The Hoffman has Vases and Vessels 3 to 5 and Word and Image Exhibit. And then R.J. Marks is there at 7. And the Cannon Beach Library fundraiser with Crafts Food Auction. Hi Hi is having the Japanese metal gilding with Momoko Akada. And the Cultural Trust, Clatsop County Cultural Coalition from 11 to noon on Saturday in Seaside Library, a grant workshop. Get in there, folks. Claim that money. And the Blessing of the Animals is 1 to 3 in Long Beach. The Labyrinth Walk on Sunday. The Astoria Visual Arts annual meeting is Tuesday at the Lovell Room, 5:30. And the Liberty Theater has Schubert's Ensemble of London at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for being here, folks. I do want to, I'm going to bring Peter down while I play you one last piece. Tonight is the beginning of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement at Onemint. Some of you may recognize this piece of music. I wish everybody a new year of peace and health and activism and caring community arts. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9.
Oh,